You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! Oh, it's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction, news and interviews from the club from this past weekend.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly we'll be hearing how the women's team fared in their big top of the table clash at Merseyrail Bootle from Sunday afternoon. But before that, it's time for this week's club news. And we start with development fund news as the club announced that we have now raised over £80,600 this financial year, with over £1,000 being raised last week alone. A big thank you, one and all. In other news, and the next meeting for the East Manchester branch will be on Tuesday the 28th of March at Fitzroy Social Club in Droylsden, M43 6DT. There'll be a special guest and the meeting will start at 7:30 p.m. And finally, United legend Norman Whiteside has been announced as the guest speaker for FC United supporters dinner at Broadhurst Park on Friday the 12th of May. The event will also feature a hot food buffet, a DJ set from Pace, and comedian Smug Roberts will be presenting. Tickets are £25 per person and will be available at the membership stall at the remaining home games this season and also online. While tickets are also going fast for the gala dinner the following Friday the 19th of May at the Midland Hotel in Manchester, where special guest speakers will be Dwight York, Sammy McElroy and Gordon McQueen. Tickets for the Midland Hotel Gala Dinner can also be purchased via the online club shop or by contacting Ruth Slater on ruthslater@fc-utd.co.uk or by telephone on 0161 769 2005. To Saturday's football now, and following last week's disappointing away defeat at Alfreton Town, FC were looking to bounce back at Broadhurst Park, with promotion chasing Halifax Town visiting North Manchester. To find out now if the Reds could take all 3 points, it's over to Marv Willers with a match report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers. FC United were beaten 3-0 by promotion chasing Halifax Town at Broadhurst Park on Saturday afternoon in front of a crowd of 3,149. The spring sunshine shone down on Moston, but there were few rays of light in the performance for the hosts. The Reds were second best throughout against a team that never really got out of a second gear whilst earning a comfortable win. The game was over as a contest at half-time as the visitors had a 3-0 lead with two late goals in quick succession just before the break. Here's the goals.
We've had a great afternoon here already this afternoon. We've had a paint-off. We've had the boys and girls from St. Pauli here. We've had a brilliant band. And we've now got a half-decent game of football. As the ball now left-hand side falls nicely for the Halifax players. Can they get the shot away? Yes, they can. That's a great goal. What a finish there from Dion Charles. No one really supporting or helping him out, but he didn't need anybody, in fairness. He had a little bit of too much. He had too much room.
Far too much room in the 18-yard box there. You can see them all talking to each other now, trying to work out who should have been filling in. It looked like a practice ground. There wasn't anybody tracking back. Nobody closed him down. He had time to look up, pick his spot. Cano, you know, left with absolutely no chance. A fantastic finish. He picked his spot and hit it, you know, with purpose, but he shouldn't have been allowed that much time.
1-0 here. FC United really could do with getting back into this game before the second half starts. It would be nice to see a few more shots on target and a little bit more cohesion within the players out there as the ball. Well, he showed too much of it, and FC United going to be undone here if they're not careful. It's with Liam King. He plays out left hand side, and that man on the end of it is Denton. Eventually, four strides, he I think he makes about 30 yards in his four strides. Plays a little ball into David Lynch. Lynch a 1-2 again with Sinnott. Sinnott plays a nice ball out wide right to this near touchline for Roberts. Roberts chips the ball in, looking for an offside decision again, but not getting it this time. But it's in the penalty area again. Here's another opportunity. Who's in a 4-4? It's an orange shirt. First half shot comes in. Back of the net. Sinnott. Too simple. Too easy. Too static. Poor, poor play from FC United. Every time the ball's in a penalty area, we turn into that statues. Nobody picks up a player. And that was just stabbed into the same top corner as where the first came from. And FC United and Manchester found themselves two goals down here with only 5 minutes of the second half to go.
He did take it well, though.
Took it really first well, half I was going to say. It's a great finish for me. That, yeah, he wouldn't have had much opportunity. He didn't have opportunity to change his body shape, and how he's managed to connect with that and send it into that top corner. Really great technique, a fantastic finish. But he should not be allowed that opportunity. They should be closer. There's been a few occasions where you've seen Halifax as they've come forward. They're playing really well as a team, but they shouldn't be allowed the amount of space that they are getting in those areas.
Seven players in our penalty area and not one person attacking the ball. It's rudimentary, poor quality defending, and it's all based upon that there's no pace in this game from FC United and Manchester. Every ball we've played, with the exception of about half a dozen, have gone backwards. And every time we get the ball, it's a long launch ball over the top, and here come FC United now, though, with Kieran Glynn. Glynn plays the ball in towards FC United and Manchester's number nine. When Jerome Wright was out on the left-hand side, we looked at the team sheet today. A lot of young players back in this team, not played for some time, and the cohesion between several of them not quite coming off at this moment in time. That's a poor header there by Baird. Allows Dion Charles. Goes past one, goes past two. Blocked off there by Scott Kay, who just looks at him saying,
yeah,
what?
He absolutely did him there, Charles. He's looking really strong.
He's been excellent, hasn't he?
He has.
And you know what, he plays a quick ball. It should be 3-0. It will be 3-0. Again, nobody even prepared or waiting for that free kick. Everyone was waiting for the referee to blow his whistle. No one back in position. 3-0.
Yeah, it's happened a few times. We've got punished for it there. You know, there's been a number of occasions where the referee's made a decision and they're strolling back into position. They're not looking at each other. They're not looking at the players. It's unacceptable from a free kick there. They've taken it early. A great run and another great finish from Halifax. But again, it's made too simple by FC.
Swampy, Ben and Emily there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with FC United first team manager Carl Margeson.
Carl, thank you for joining us after that one. What's your view after that 90 minutes?
Obviously not good enough. I just think they outworked us. I really do think that every time we... And that pains me to say that, because that should be... Just a given when you're representing FC United at Broadhurst Park with 3,000 people here, then the work rate should be a given, and I don't think that that was there today.
You made a few changes before the match, some inclusions of the likes of Sam Baird and Kieran Glynn, yeah. Gilchrist, really exciting young prospects.
Yeah, Zach Corb, the reason for Sam, I thought, to be honest, when Sam played in the first half, I thought he was probably our best player. But he's got something wrong with his knee, so he had to come off at half time. And we didn't pass the ball. We didn't work hard enough to create the space to be able to do what we should be doing. And when you've got players like Nathan and Kieran who are talented footballers, if you don't get them the ball in the right areas, then you're not gonna make best use of their attributes. And that's one of the things that we talked about before the game, the reason for that, because we wanted to play. We wanted, you know, last week Alfreton, I watched the game and really disappointed in the way that we played. I thought it was poor. Now, you know, with the squad that we've got, maybe it needs a little freshening up and look at some, because maybe some lads are possibly a little bit out of form or whatever. Because I thought today that we looked a bit unsure in possession, and out of possession we need to work harder.
I mean, Halifax are a class act.
Yeah.
But you made three substitutions at half-time, apart from Sam Bell, were they all tactical?
Yeah, Tommy and Wolfie coming on. Wolfie gives us that balance. He's more of a natural wide player than George, and I wanted to get two up top because obviously we were 3-0 down and you're looking to try and back in the game.
There's a couple of injuries, obviously, picked up Sam Baird, as you say, but also Carnell as well. What's it looking like? Because we've got Curzon in a couple of days' time. Yeah. There's not much to not
no,
much time.
We'll assess that over the next day or so. If we need to, if Dave isn't fit, then we'll have to replace him.
Okay. Is there much time for that? I don't...
we can get emergency loans in and things like that, but also we're working with Adriano. I know he's gone to Hartlepool, but he wasn't able, because it was outside the transfer window, wasn't able to sign a contract, so we'll approach Hartlepool and see whether he can be in net for us on.
And I'm expecting a few changes then for Curzon.
I've got a lot of thinking to do, to be honest. I've got a lot of thinking to do. So.
Well, Carl, thank you for joining us after that one, and you have a nice Sunday.
Cheers, Ben.
Carl Margeton there speaking with Ben following his side's 3-0 defeat to Halifax Town on Saturday afternoon. Very shortly we'll be hearing how the Reds got on in their league match at Curzon Ashton from Monday evening, but to hear now where that result leaves FC United in the league table going into Monday night's clash with Curzon, it's over to Marv Willers now with another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers, and welcome everybody to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. And that defeat for FC United on Saturday sees the Reds drop a place to 14th position, 10 points from the relegation places with 8 games of the season left to play. Higher up the table, and AFC Fylde suffered their first defeat in 7 games on Saturday, and although second-placed Kidderminster Harriers won, the Coasters still hold a very healthy 6-point lead at the top of the table. The leaders found inconsistent Nuneaton Town, unexpectedly winning 4-1, while Kidderminster beat Harrogate 1-0. Following their Broadhurst win, Halifax Town are now third, level on points with Salford City, who suffered a 2-0 defeat at Boston United. Stockport County have leapt into fifth spot after a defeat for Chorley and a draw for Darlington. County won 2-1 at home to Tynemouth, Darlow drew 3-3 at Gainsborough, while Chorley lost 3-0 at home to Curzon. Brackley Town's outside chances of making the top five were boosted by results above them and their 2-1 win over relegation-threatened Telford United. Gloucester City are also still just about in the playoff race after a comfortable 4-0 win against Alfreton Town, while Bradford Park Avenue moved 6 points clear of the drop zone after virtually sealing Altrincham's fate in a 2-1 win at the Horsfall Stadium. And that concludes this week's Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Have a great week.
To Monday's match at the Tameside Stadium now, and with FC United looking to bounce back against our old friends Curzon Ashton, it's now time to hand over to the FC Live team to find out if the Reds could take all the points in this one.
So, team news today.
Music.
Team news coming through.
As we mentioned on the interviews on this Cubbies My Club today that has been airing all day, Dave Carnell was injured.
Well, yes, but I think everyone clearly could see that, Ben, in fairness.
And it was mentioned by Margie that he was going to try and get Basso back from Hartlepool, and he's got Basso back.
Bring back the Basso, that's what it was.
So he's here. But I think he's still going to Hartlepool at some point, but he is here. But Carl has...
I watched them on Saturday, by the way.
Oh, Hartlepool?
Yeah.
Was Basso playing? I wasn't playing.
Entertaining game.
Carl has rung the changes.
Some are a bit odd, very to say the least. Just matters arising. We obviously dissected the game on Saturday, and Carl admitted himself that it was a poor performance from FC United. But we weren't necessarily, here on FC Live, we weren't criticising the players in any way, shape or form. We were saying the balance was wrong in the team. And that's where we've got to. And now he's rung the changes as a result of that match. And we are where we are with a starting 11, which is equally as odd as the one that we had on Saturday.
Well, what it does, Ben, and I think, and what it does in reality, I think it puts him into a corner here now, because if this team, this 11, don't succeed on the pitch this evening, what does he do next week against Stalybridge? Bridge? I mean, you know, he's rung the changes, considering the six different players starting this evening that actually were there on Saturday. Let me give you the teams anyway, just quickly, so you've got an idea and a flavour. It's Basso in goal. Dale Tonga. Tong comes back and replaces Williams. Dale Tong's back in the team. Chris Chandler, Scott Caister keeps his place. Jordan Fagbola. Well, everyone's been asking where he was.
Well, he was injured as far as I was concerned.
And apparently he's no longer injured. He's back in the team. Luke Ashworth, Matty Wolfenden, Nathan Lowe, Tommy Adeoli, who really, when he came on, showed promise as a young lad for, you know...
That's what we were saying. He was good for 5 minutes, but then
the whole team faded, yeah, didn't they? So, I mean, it was no surprise. But he showed some good touches, a bit of quality. You can see he's played academy football. He's a big, strong lad. He was at Stoke City. So, you know, he showed a little bit of quality in what he can really hopefully bring to the team. Jerome Wright, number 10, and Greg Wilkinson, number 11. Now, on the bench, FC, we've got Greaves, Gilchrist, Sherrington, Thompson, and Tom Brown. So all the youngsters that have played any part of this season all been taken out of the first 11, and indeed all of them bar one out of even the substitute. So it's going to be very interesting this afternoon.
I'll tell you what, that's a great five-a-side team on that bench.
Oh yeah, I mean, definitely.
Anyway, show up you two, listen to this. Listen to this music they're coming out to. Brilliant stuff.
Ashworth clears his lines. Jerome Wright takes over. Little 1-2 between him and Lowe. Lowe plays it back to Wilkinson. Wilkinson's ball goes straight to a blue shirt, but good strength there from FC United and Manchester's Adeoli there, but they've given the ball away and FC United can come now again.
Well
and,
done,
this time intercepted well by Jamie Stott. And Kay play the way he's facing, but it's a wrong ball.
He's in trouble,
and
yeah.
FC United and Manchester's Ashworth, well, tremendous last dish.
Oh,
there's a competition. It's going to be a 1-0
to
1-0 to the visiting home team. And that was Adrian Basso. And it all started off with Kay playing the ball back.
Yeah.
A stretch.
A third time, might I add.
A stretch for Ashworth to try and win the ball. He stabbed it back to Adrian Basso, who tried to clear his lines, but he cleared it straight to hit Warburton on his back. It flicked over Basso, and Basso was nothing he could do.
To be honest,
his hands up, but Kay's the instigator there of all of that.
It's the third time he's done it, and all sent the ball short or to the wrong player. But to be honest, the tackle that Ashworth did there to actually scoop that ball back was quality. And Basso, for some reason, instead of clearing his lines, has just run straight in to the opposing player, Niall. And Niall won't be shifted. He's a solid unit.
Matthew Warburton, the goal scorer, and 18 minutes on the clock. FC United goal down there. FC United still find themselves trailing. A substitution coming for John Flanagan's team. There's a good strong header there by FC United and Manchester's Ashworth. It was a free header and he did well there.
Good header.
But the ball back in their own penalty area. And, well, Hall played it back to his goalkeeper, who didn't necessarily want that. But I think he had to play the way he was facing, because he was being marshalled by two or three FC players. And the referee wants the throw to be taken right below us. And who wants it? That's the question. No, we're still waiting for the throw-in to be taken. And it is eventually taken. Chandler keeps the ball in play to Greaves. Holds the ball well. Plays it into towards Tommy then. He charges the ball down well. Kane needs to win the ball and not lose it there.
Yes,
and he gets himself a free kick and does well there. He gets straight up.
That's
there.
Well done.
That's it.
That's better.
Chandler there. That's a lovely ball towards the back post there. Wolfenden heads it. Controls it. Plays it to Tommy Abdiwoli there. First half shot comes in. A great effort. A great goal!
Get it.
What a wonderful goal from FC United. Number 8. Tremendous football from FC United, and a well-worked goal. Bent it round the goalkeeper. It's Nathan Lowe. Nathan Lowe there with an absolute quality strike. And Tom Greaves has already been put into this team in the second half, already making his mark, and a great finish there, Roy.
The thing was, though, the quickness of the free kick, that's what it was. You know, we said it at the time, FC had to put some pace, put some urgency into their play, put some pressure into their play, and that's what's happened in the second half. And that free kick was taken as soon as the ball was given as a free kick. He put it down, took it straight away. The movement was just there.
Well, that's Nathan Lowe's fifth goal of the season, and well, there's not been a tap in from him yet, has there?
All outside the box.
Everyone outside the box, indeed. Yes, some in his own half. They've still got 5 minutes to go, as FC United now hit the ball through the middle. This time, it's comfortably cut out with, dealt with by the home team. Rowney on the ball now, up to the halfway line, chips the ball left hand side, brought down by Ryan Hall. Wolford and back defending tremendously there. Well, Wolfie done really well. Makes Hall make the mistake, and FC get a throw in. That's excellent play.
But Wolfie's worked hard, hasn't he, you know, throughout this game. And to be honest, I mean, he's been in areas where other lads should have been, and basically hasn't got the support that he's had. But he's worked well. He's done well today.
Well, as it stands, this will be the fifth draw in a row against Curzon, as FC United now have to defend the ball. Shaw after Rowney did really, really well. 14 on the board now, Luke Clark. Clark not done a great deal since he's come on, and he's given the ball away, and Jerome right now can try and get down this side. And a free kick that Shaw will take. It's a yellow card for Shaw as well.
And if there's a good free kick, that was a good free kick.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. So FC United have an opportunity here now. They've got a free kick on the halfway line, basically, that Sheridan's going to take, and we've got everybody up for FC United of Manchester. It's a decent ball in there as well. A blue head wins the first ball, but the second ball should be picked up by Ashworth, playing as a right winger. It's a great ball into the air as well. Oh. An opportunity. Wolford with the goal. It was a great ball in originally by Sheridan. He pulled the ball in. It caused nothing but confusion and panic in the Curzon penalty area. The ball came back across by, the makeshift right winger in Ashworth. He played the ball across. There was Wolfenden. He's led it into the bottom corner, and FC United find themselves 2-1 up.
Typical Wolfie goal as well. He got away. One got away from him earlier on in the game, and he should have absolutely buried it, because those are what he's made on. But this time he found the net. He was there in that 6-yard box, just blasted it straight through.
Well, what a second half performance from FC United. The urgency, the quality, the tenacity, all those things that we want from a team to play 90 minutes out. Well, they've done it for the second half, and a very, very good goal there as well. And that will be indeed the end of the game. And FC United, well, as we say, game of two halves, definitely. FC United and Manchester, well, they had to improve in the second half. Their work rate had to improve, their quality had to improve, and all those things came in the second half. And FC United and Manchester, really, with a great, great equalising goal by Nathan Lowe, absolutely tremendous by Lowe, and a second goal there by Matthew Wolfenden. After all the hard work, FC United and Manchester leave here again with 3 points. And, I think, Flan, as we talked about earlier on, will John be disappointed in the fact that they had all the possession, all the quality of the first half, they scored one, but they couldn't do enough to put pressure on FC's goalkeeper in the first half. And 1-0, it's always, you know, a dodgy scoreline. You've gone in, and FC United have come out of that second half and showed the qualities. And it was all based on pace and work rate. The whole game in the second half was based upon those two simple things.
Yeah, and they are simple things. I mean, their attitude of mind, you know, because, I mean, your fitness levels to play at this in this league needs to be there. You know, so then you work on the attitude and the aptitude. And, you know, invariably it comes from who actually instills it, end of story, you know, because if you don't show those urgencies yourself, forget it. Like, you know, the fact is, like, you know, at the end of the day, your players will pick up on it. So, you know, the ante, get in there, mix it, do what you got to do, and you'll get your rewards.
Well, they showed quality having in that second half. They showed the quality, they showed they can compete. For pace, they can compete in the challenge, they can compete pretty much all over the pitch, and you know, it's been a good result, two well worked goals, and an entertaining game which we can take into the Stanley Bridge game. And I suppose the teams you'd like to be playing this time of the season, a team that are right at the bottom of the division, that have got, you know, they're playing for pride more than anything. But that result, that for FC United in the second half, that second half performance will go a long way to helping for in the game on Saturday.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I mean, you've ended on a high, and the last thing you'll remember about this game going into the next game will be the positives of it, you know, and that's a fact. But Stanley Bridge, you know, we've got a decent manager there, the graft away there, and you know, that won't be an easy game.
Well, Carl, it's just gone full time here. What a second half display that was from FC.
Yeah, that's what we've been crying out for. We've been asking for that all along, you know, for them to go out and express themselves, and I thought they did that in the second half. First half, towards the end of the first half, we were getting on top, you know what I mean? So, yeah, very pleasing.
You rung the changes this evening. Most of them tactical, I'm assuming, apart from Sam Baird and Carnell.
And we, you know, we played on Saturday, so needed to freshen things up a little bit.
How pleased were you with Basso? Apart from the error for the goal, really, he did a world class save in that second half, which kept us in it.
Yep, he's a great keeper. 41 years old, but like a spring chicken when he saved that.
That Dave Carnell, I think, should be fit for this weekend.
We're hoping so. We'll see on Thursday at training.
Do you want to wish Basso well then? Because it might be his last game for us, mate.
Yeah, it might be. We'll see.
So, when it comes to that second half, Tommy Adeloye was superb. I don't know who we've given man of the match to. I've not discussed it yet, but for my money, up until he picked up that little pull muscle, I think he was superb.
He was just getting cramp, and that, you know, that shows the work rate that he's put in.
Bendy Ganesca, I thought, an element of it.
Yeah, big lad.
Yeah. what about Wolfie as well and Greaves? I mean, Greaves comes on. We go 4-4-2. Yeah. I know it's an old argument, but really did turn the screw on them when that change was made.
That's what we were looking to do. We were looking to cause them problems. You know, we needed to get back in the game, and you know, thankfully we've done it.
Have you worked out yet who your? Because obviously we've got a big cup final coming up in May. Have you worked out what your strongest 11 is yet?
No. We've got a really strong squad, and whoever I pick, you know, they'll give their all. So it's very pleasing for me as a manager to be able to do that.
Obviously, it's been a bit of a roller coaster, I'd imagine, for you this evening. What's your final thoughts after that, going into Stalybridge this weekend?
I'm well pleased. You know, it sets us up nicely for the weekend. So we'll have a good training session on Thursday and look to continue and try and get another win on the board, so that we can count ourselves safe. But more so, you know, we've set a target that we want to be better than last year, so I think we finished with 53 points. So,
well, Carl, thank you for joining us. Congratulations this evening, and see you on Saturday.
The substitutions work well as well. I've got to say,
I think Tom Greaves was like bringing on two players.
Yeah,
you know, he came on with a great attitude. His first touch with the ball down in this bottom left-hand corner, shimmied, sent the ball across. Wolfie must have been like centimetres off a touch and putting that ball in the net. And it was replicated a bit later on, you know, in virtually the same spot as well, when Wolfie got the winning goal.
It was indeed. And as you say, you know, work rate and passion and desire and the will to win this evening in the second half were the things that separated the two teams. I mean, there was a number of chances for the home team, some good saves from Adrian Basso, but equally, you know, we put them under pressure. We've worked well, and I think we got our just desserts really in the end, because the desire was more. Really was FC, I think,
well,
in that second half.
For the second half, yeah, because, like, you know, you could say that Curzon had the you know, the percentage of the first half, but when you think about it, I mean, the actual shooting opportunities that they actually had on goal were minimal, whereas the shooting opportunities that FC United created in the second half through that upping of pressure and work rate and attitude and aptitude, you know, they were the worthy winners in the end.
Yeah.
What I will say is that, you know, it's a shame that you talk about something like lack of effort in the first half and lack of this, that, the other, and then you see players out there who are decent players playing to the full capabilities, and it's not about skills and abilities, it's about effort, commitment, and, you know, wanting to put a shift in. And it's sad that, you know, that didn't happen in the first half.
Well, it's been a story of the season, really. It's been, you know, it's been peaks and troughs, ups and downs, and this afternoon, I mean, from an FC perspective, very impressed with FC's number nine tonight.
He's done
really, really well. Not scared of putting a challenge in. Knew he was in a game. You said at the beginning he knew he was going to be in a game against the kind of centre-halves he was playing against, but he didn't shirk it at all. And he wanted to be involved. He seemed to enjoy it. Once he got over that little bit of
apprehension,
he started grew into the game and got better and better and better, and it was a very, very good performance. And you know he'll be happy with that, and Carl'll be very happy with that.
Man of the match
from an FC perspective, yeah. I think he's done excellent. He was the one that you had your eye on when you were watching him. I thought Wolfenden, for his work rate going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and sticking at it and then getting the goal. But I think on his debut, really, it's his full proper debut, isn't it, for FC United? We can give it to Tommy. Little bits of that on Saturday.
Yeah.
But today, he's shown he's a capable young lad. And
well, he wasn't frightened of the level he was playing at and got stuck into it, didn't he? You know, which is sound. But
Fagbola did well as well.
Yeah, he did okay. I thought he might have blown a few gaskets towards the end. And Tong as well, but, you know, they done okay, didn't they? You know, they played well. They sat in there. They played the full duration and at a decent pace. And I look at the positions, you know, in the leagues as regards FC and Curzon. And is there a point that separates
them? Point now, yes.
And what I would say is that, you know, Curzon have been pretty consistent in how they've accumulated their points. They've never been really an up-and-down team, you know, and a jerky team. FC United have been, you said it before, peaks and troughs right the way through the season. Great performances, you know, over a couple of games, and then it's doldrum time. But, you know, there's very little to choose between the two teams, you know, in abilities.
Certainly is.
It's and more so in the application of how they actually gain that consistent flow.
Well, listen, Roy, as always, it's great to have you here. Let's hear some good wise words from you.
So, a big thank you to Swampet, Roy Sewell, pleasure as always. Thank you to Statlepole and Stephen Wood at halftime for keeping our peckers up in a way and making us happy in the moments of despair that was the first half.
Well, that's good because we weren't there.
No, exactly. But the first half is in the past. The second half is also in the past, and we move on now to Stalybridge Celtic on Saturday. So that has been FC Live.
Take care, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, bye-bye.
FC United's first team return to action this coming Saturday as FC hosts local rivals Stalybridge Celtic at Broadhurst Park. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3 p.m, but as always, if you cannot make this game, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bootle, Merseyrail Bootle to be precise, at the Delta Taxis Stadium here in Merseyside for today's top of the table clash between Merseyrail Bootle, current league leaders, and FC United of Manchester, currently in second position. Going into this game, both teams are tied up at the top. The goal difference for Merseyrail, plus 63, for FC United of Manchester, plus 55. It's a very, very pivotal match this one, a very, very big game, and so much so, kickoff has been delayed. That's not actually the real reason why kickoff was delayed. Couldn't get keys to the dressing rooms, but the game is due to kick off any minute now. Merseyrail Bootle wearing red, FC United wearing blue. We're going to be joined by Statlepole in a second or two with his views going into this game, but the match is about to kick off, and we're off and running here in this top of the table six-pointer here at the Delta Taxis Stadium here, the home of Bootle FC of the North West Counties and also the home of Merseyrail Bootle. And we're now joined by Statlepole. Hello, Paul. How are you this afternoon?
Fine. I'll just go through the teams with you when we get a moment's break.
Just to give you the Merseyrail team, Kennedy in goal. We've got Thomas, Williams, Sol, Mayhead, Hindley, Atherton, Perry, Wharton, Thompson and Parkinson. That FC United team, we've got Gillingham, Wild, Holden, McCarrick, Parker, Chambers, Tattersall, Davis, Patient, Carrington and Battle. A very attacking line-up here. Kirsty Chambers with this throwing captain this afternoon. Down the left-hand side it goes for Jade Parker to deal with. Good defending there from Merseyrail, but she couldn't keep it in. It's number 15 there. That's Rachel Atherton. And it's gone out for a corner ball.
And it's going to be Jay Parker to take this on this left-hand side. Going to be an in-swinger. Good contingent of FC is there this afternoon, you'll be pleased to know. In it comes, towards the near post. It's a poor one, though, but it's headed clear. On his far, straight back to Jade Parker. Jade Parker now on the right foot. Handball, referee. Nope, referee didn't see that. And advantage played, and now Merseyrail on the counter-attack with the number eight. Nice little through ball, though. Straight through the middle. Can Carrington tries to defend it. She's having to... making a bit of a meal of it, and it's a good strength there from the number 16 for Merseyrail. Cross comes in, side netting and out. That was Sophie Perry there for Merseyrail.
It's going to be a competitive game for FC, certainly all areas of the pitch.
That's a good throwing out from Gillingham though to try and release Chambers. Tackle is made, but the ball breaks to McCarrick on the halfway line. Nice little 1-2 there with Wild. Here is McCarrick now on the ball. Oh, and she tries to find battle there, but there wasn't enough pace on it. And Thompson can bring this ball forward, and she's got loads of space here into FC United's half. She goes, plays the ball to the number 21. That's Parkinson on this right-hand side. The cross comes in. There's a lot of wind on that, but it's comfortable for Gillingham.
Yes, it's a bit of a winner-takes-all game, this, really. We're discussing the games to come after this. They've got to play Charltonians twice. They've got a difficult game at Warrington to come, as have we.
Ball cleared by Gillingham. Ball passed back all the way to Kennedy in the Merseyrail goal, who clears the lines, and another thumping clearance over the top it goes. But there's Fran Davis winning that header, but the ball breaks to Parkinson now on the right hand side. Cross comes in, Chelsea Patient covering. She needs to be strong, but Merseyrail get the ball back, and the cross comes in towards the edge of the 18 yard box it goes. It's held up there, and there's Chelsea Patient covering. And the second ball is won by Merseyrail, and again it's good stuff from Merseyrail. This is Parkinson now. Chambers wins the ball, gets the ball to Battle, good turn.
Kirsty kicked out there, one of their players, and she's going to be in trouble. She got frustrated by the challenge that went in, which was a little bit late. Kirsty's going to be in big trouble if the assistant reports this as seen. There's going to be a big problem. This could be a red that comes out, I'm afraid.
Do you reckon?
It could be. Is he going to show any leniency for so early in the game? Is he going to show any leniency for the challenge that went before it?
Violent conduct, isn't it?
Yeah. It's taken a long time over this.
It's a red card.
It's a red card
for Kirsty Chambers, and Sattlepole said he thought it was coming, and there it is, and that's a very big moment.
So FC lose their captain in the 10th minute.
Throwing taken. Shots in the back there, but here is Sol now. Sol coming forward. Plays a lovely ball to the left-hand side. Here is Wharton now. Wharton comes in field with it and shoots. Such a good shot, and it's a fine, fine finish and a fine, fine goal. And on 21 minutes, Merseyrail have taken the lead.
Well, yeah, it was a good ball from Sol out wide left, and Wharton cut in. I think it was Chelsea Patient that was facing her up, and she just managed to find a bit of space enough to fire in the shot into the corner. No chance for Amy Gillingham, and Merseyrail Bootle, the league leaders, are ahead.
Well, it was an uphill struggle to begin with, but down to
it's gone more difficult
down to
now.
10, it's difficult. It's 1-0 at half time here at the Delta Taxi Stadium, the home of Bootle FC and Merseyrail Bootle, and it's 1-0 to Merseyrail. FC United down to 10 players. Chris Chambers sent off a retaliatory kick out at a player after a tackle, so looked like an uphill task for the first 10 minutes or so. Then there was an injury, then Luke Podmore had time to compose the team, reorganise it, and actually FC United have had some good chances there.
Yeah, we've come into it in the last 10-20 minutes of the half. We've started to impose ourselves a bit. Passing's improved. There is a bit of Scouse Manc kind of undertones in this game that
do you think?
That has that's lingering, and it started with the Kirsty Chambers incident in the 10th minute, and obviously we've got to find a goal in the second half somehow, and we've got to be positive, and it's a difficult ask this. We're playing against a very good side.
Ball is back with Chelsea Patient now with McCarrick to Vias. Vias lets it overrun, but Vias wins that ball back, and he's like a battering ram, just moving forward with it. And here's Battle now. Battle plays the ball to Wild. Wild, who's on the right side now. I was right what
and
I said.
Away.
And Wild gets to the byline, crosses this ball in. Oh, it's Vias. Oh,
he's at the post.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's the closest we've got. And it was a great move.
Was. And it all comes from switching the wingers.
And it was good football, good build up. Wild put the cross in. Amy Vias forced away into the box. The ball bounced against the post and eventually it's in the keeper's hands and cleared.
Ball cleared, and again it's coming straight back from Merseyrail. And Merseyrail plays the ball forward. And McCarrick there, an interesting challenge, and appeals for a free kick. Referee's not interested.
And the ball is with Bet out on the far side.
Yes,
and we're away.
She's got a bit of space. She plays the ball first time to battle. You can't control it. Ball breaks, and tell you what, Thomas was lucky there.
And that's a giveaway.
Here's McCarrick, plays it to Wild. Wild, back to McCarrick. McCarrick keeps the run going. She's into the box. She plays the ball sideways towards Battle. The ball, and that is a good, good tackle there from Lauren Williams. And the ball is cleared.
More good moments for FC. We've won the ball back.
Carrington, good strength from Carrington, and she wins a free kick. Good stuff.
FC's spirit is still there, still fighting hard here. A goal down, 10 men.
It's a free kick just on the touchline over there, just 20 yards or so into the Merseyrail half. Bice is over it. It's going to be an in swinger, and we're committing plays to this. Fran Davis and Chelsea Patient have gone up.
At this stage, we really have to gamble a bit.
Absolutely. Here is Vias now. Vias with this free kick. In it comes. It's good. It's controlled by Parker. Parker shoots. Saved by the goalkeeper. It's over the line. The referee's not interested. The linesman's not there. What we play. And, well, it's cleared by Merseyrail. Well,
controversial.
Check
stuff.
That one out on the replay later. And Merseyrail now on the attack. Merseyrail. It's with Thomas. And that's a bit of a giveaway there, and Tatsal comes back for the ball. Well, I believe Neil Bew has got a camera over on that side. It'd be very interesting. The linesman was not up with that.
It was hooked off. It was hooked away from near the goal line, we could say.
Let's be generous. And that's the listener. It's full time, and a very, very gut-wrenching afternoon. A good effort. And, well, as you'd imagine, Merseyrail are treating this like they've just won the league. And
Maybe
they have. They're jumping around currently. And they've... it's difficult to assess this match. I mean, FC United down to 10 players very early on after 10 minutes play. Kirsty Chambers sent off for a retaliative kick out on a player. And it was always uphill at that point. We've come out 10 minutes later... Wharton gets the goal, and then Merseyrail. It would take a lot for FC United to get back into this. However, in the second half, the better the chances have come from FC. We've hit the post. We had a chance cleared off the line. I'd be interested to see the footage back because it's difficult to say from here. But it looked over the line from here.
I think the biggest compliment you can say is that in the second half we were a player short, and it didn't show it. We took the game to them. We couldn't find a goal today, sadly. And, you know, we look back to the opening exchanges where, unfortunately, it was a case of, taxi for Kirsty. And that really, you know, you look back at that and you think, well, if we'd had 11 players, I wonder if it would have made a difference.
Now, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, we've had some excellent performances this afternoon. Fran Davis, for my money, has been absolutely superb.
Bertat ran her socks off.
She went quiet in the last 20 minutes. That's because she ran her socks off.
Amy Gillingham, safe hands at the back.
But I have to say, I said when that sending off happened, Jay Parker's going to have to step it up in this game.
Yep.
She has covered every single blade of grass in that game. And it's just not been... It's just been one of them afternoons. We ran out of steam, and it's for obvious reasons. Time management of Merseyrail has been flawless in many ways. Depending on what you want to take from a match, they've got the 3 points. That's what's needed to win leagues, and that's all they can ask for, really.
Yeah, they've got the 6 points in the bag against us, which probably will make all the difference at the end of the season. It was good to see that Luke made sure that the players came to the away support at the end and applauded them. The home side are getting their own applause now. It's been a very, very hard-fought game for Merseyrail Bootle, and they're showing fatigue. They've been pushed hard today, but they've won the points. But full credit to FC. Bearing in mind we've had 10 men for, 90 minutes, because we played 100 minutes. We did our best in that second half to try and get the game back. We certainly did.
Can I give you a theory?
Yeah.
We've lost this game. All right? It's the end of March. They've treated this win as very, very significant, and I was surprised that the cup wasn't awarded moments after the full-time whistle, the way they were performing. The next game for Merseyrail Bootle is Altrincham away next weekend. Yeah. We've been to Altrincham.
Yeah.
That is not an easy game.
Oh, no. This
and mindset is important.
I mean, we've been talking about this game for weeks and weeks as a six-pointer. And it is, in a way, it is a six-pointer. But what we've got to bear in mind is that both sides have got some very difficult games to come. And this league is not a foregone conclusion. If you look at the table, Warrington Wolverines in third have still got a foot in the door in all of this. And they've got to play both sides. We've got two games at against Charltonians. They're not going to be easy. They've got tough games as well. So there could still be some points dropped between now and the end of the season.
Well, I think that's a good time to leave this women's team live. Next up for FC United is his away trip to Ellesmere Port Town. The address for the ground, it's taking place at the Whitby Sports and Social Club. That's on Dunkirk Lane, Ellesmere Port, CH65 6QF. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff. Big thank you to Stato Paul for joining us this afternoon. It has finished 1-0 to Merseyrail Bootle. It's a very, very important result, that, in the grand scheme of things, but as Paul rightly points out, there is a few twists and turns maybe still to come. But from everyone here on Merseyside, we wish you all a happy Sunday and happy Mother's Day. We'll see you soon. Bye bye.
So, Luke Podmore, thank you for joining us after that one. A very, very hard-fought match, that one. And, well, second-half display, very fortunate at least not to have a point, maybe three.
Yeah, I think maybe it's a little bit harsh as not getting a point. Fair play to Bootle, they beat us. But as soon as the first half, we didn't start half as well as we wanted to do. Whether or not that was to do with what happened before the game, I don't know. But at the end of the day, we'd probably be better in the first half. There's 45 minutes now, had a bit more of an impact on the game. Obviously, the sending off strip, that changes you, that your game plan gets ripped up, and you've got to start afresh. But second half, we came out, we started to play football before, we had some really good opportunities, and I think we are unlucky. I think they've had one more shot that Amy's tipped from the header that's, and I think apart from that, we've had two golden chances that we need to take, and hopefully in another game with another go in.
Now, the referee's not had a bad game, in my opinion. I know you, mm-hmm. you share that. The sending off, I didn't see it because I was keeping up with the ball, but Stato Paul basically said she kicked out because James, so you can't really do that, can you?
No, and absolutely not. If that was, I always like to look at situations like, if that was against my team, would I want, and Kirsty, obviously unfortunate, Kirsty's just seen red and she's kicked out with the girl. I didn't actually see it myself, I was turning around, but I've been advised over that side that it did happen. It's disappointing, and like I say, as soon as that happens, the game plan's ripped up. But I thought with 10 men to be within one goal of the team that's at the top of the league, I think to have the two chances that we made, I think we need to be proud of ourselves.
And fantastic performances from Fran Davis. As soon as the sending off happened, I said Jay Parker's going to have to step it up again. She was everywhere. Beth Tattersall, she faded with 15 minutes to go, but I think she was knackered, to be fair.
Yeah.
She was a bright spot in the whole game. Time management wise, Merseyrail have come to this and they've won the game. They've got the 3 points.
Yeah.
10 minutes of added time says a lot, I think. There was also a foul situation, wasn't there, where they locked us out of the dressing rooms when we first arrived. It's all part of kidology. The point is though that they've won the match, and this is my view now. The way they celebrated it, I'm surprised the cup wasn't presented to them after the game.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't important 3 points, but there's a month left of football still to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously it's a big game in terms of the points being taken by whichever side was obviously going to be a telling. Will probably have a big impact on where the title goes this year. We're going to keep doing what we do. I've said to them, as their previous results have shown, they're on occasions can slip up, and we've just got to hope we've just got to make sure we're there if that happens. And our girls are very much, we need to move on now and use it as sort of a learning curve. A lot of lessons learned today, which will only make us a better side. So hopefully, we're there if anything should happen, and we've just got to prepare ourselves for that.
Well, they've got Altrincham away next, which was a nice game when we went there. And we've got Ellesmere Port. You were doing the right things. We were warmed down after the game as well. Mm-hmm. All ready to bounce back for the game against Ellesmere Port next week?
Yeah, the message is really to the players, obviously, after the game was, I can't say anymore. I mean, nothing's going to pick them up after a defeat like that. I just said to him, I think your effort was outstanding. I think we let ourselves down in a few areas, but that always happens in a football game. It was just unfortunate that we couldn't, you know, if we took one of the chances, it all would have been forgotten and it would have been all hunky-dory. But, you know, we've just got to make sure we learn from this now. And, you know, all right, it's a defeat, but let's take some out of it as well, not just completely forget it. And hopefully, moving forward, if the situation comes again, we're in the situation, we're better for it. And, we'll, you know, hopefully, we'll, next time we'll go on better.
Well, Luke Podmore, big thank you for joining us.
That's nearly it from me for this week's show. But before I go, just a reminder that FC United will be holding open trials for the club's Academy 17-18 intake, with trials taking place on the first week of Easter half term. To register for the trials, please contact the club on 0161 769 2005 and ask for Jack Dickinson or Tom Conroy, or email office@fc-utd.co.uk. And that's it from me for this week's show. You can hear This Club Is My Club on Monday and Tuesday at 7:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.